When I was a hospital chaplain, I visited a beautiful 90-year-old lady weekly, and we had these wonderful, deep conversations. One day when I was in there, she just said to me, "Look at that lady over there. She's 100. And I said to her, "Oh, does that make you wonder what it might be like to be 100? And she said, "Yes, I wonder all sorts of things in here." I said, "Oh, like what?" She said, "I wonder what it will be like to die." And I said, "Oh, well, I wonder what that will be like." She said, "You just lay down and go sleep, and when you wake up, you're in heaven." She really simplified it. That didn't sit well with me at the time. I hadn't really grappled with dying so pleasantly. And I had to go away and really do a theological reflection on that, what it's like to die. So I don't know how you feel about death and dying, but it's inevitable. That's a one sure thing in life. We are all going to die. But with faith in Jesus Christ, we have a hope of a resurrection, that death, physical death in this world, isn't the end, but we go on to live in eternity with Jesus Christ. And this is something that Mary and Martha believed in today's gospel story. So if you have your Bible open at chapter 11, we can start to look at that now. So we know Lazarus and Mary and Martha were good friends of Jesus. He spent a lot of time in their home, just hanging out. And you remember Mary sat at Jesus' feet one day when he was around at their place. Martha was busy doing everything, but Mary sat at his feet. Now, Mary and Martha and Lazarus were loved by Jesus. There's a real emphasis on that in the first couple of chapters of this book. It says, "Now a man named Lazarus was sick, and Mary and Martha, his sisters, sent this message, 'The one you love is sick.'" Now, the funny thing is, when Jesus heard this, he said, "This sickness will not end in death." He knew what he was going to do. But no, it would end for God's glory, that God's Son may be glorified through it. Just like when he healed the blind man last week, when the disciples said, "Was this man blind because his parents sinned or because he sinned?" And Jesus said, "No, this is for the glory of God." And again, Lazarus' death, for the glory of God. God was going to do a greater thing through it. Here's the funny bit. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Because he loved him, he waited 2 more days. That doesn't really make sense to us, does it? We think if that he really loved him, he'd go immediately and heal him. That's what Mary and Martha expected. They didn't ask it explicitly, but they were such good friends. It was an expectation that Jesus would come and do something and prevent Lazarus from dying. But no, he waits 2 more days because he loves them. And that'll become clear why very shortly. After 2 days, he says to his disciples, "We'll go back now. We'll go to Jerusalem." And the disciples said, "But Rabbi, just a short while ago, the Jews were going to stone you. Why would we go back there? You're going to be killed." Because after he had, just before he had healed the blind man, which we heard last week, the Jews were ready to stone him, and he just walked on through. And afterwards, again, every miracle he did, the more people that believed in him and followed him, the more the Jews wanted to kill him. And so he's living in danger to go back there. But Jesus replies, "You know, I'm not afraid. We're walking the light. It's a safe passage. We won't stumble." But it's when a person walks at night in the darkness that they have no light, that they stumble. And after he said this, he said, "Lazarus is sleeping." And the disciples didn't get it yet. He thought, well, you know, if he's asleep, he'll get well. You know, he's resting up. And Jesus had to plainly say, "Lazarus is dead." So they decide to go back and watch Jesus bring dead Lazarus to life. And in the words of Thomas, he says, "Oh, let's go," to his other disciples. He goes, "Let's go so we can die with him," knowing that death was awaiting at the other end. Now, when Jesus arrived, Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. And that is significant, and that's why he waited 2 more days, because the mourners, the hired mourners, would carry on and weep and do their rituals and their ceremony for the first 3 days. So if any friends or family really wanted to really mourn and go see the family, go see Lazarus, they would wait till the fourth day to just get past all this ceremony and pomp. It's also significant that he waited that long as well, because the Jews and the Israelites and the culture at the time said that the spirit of a person would hover around the dead person for 3 days. And so if Jesus came back within those 3 days and raised Lazarus to life in those days, people just say, oh yeah, the spirit just went back in him, you know. Explain that away. Anyone can do that. 4 days. It was a miracle. And that's what he set out to do. He says to Martha, Martha says to him, if you'd been here, my brother would not be dead. But I know that God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said, your brother will live again. And Martha said, yeah, I know, on the day of resurrection, on the last day, he'll be raised to life like everyone else. That's God's promise to anyone who believes in him. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? I'm just going to ask you there, I'm just going to pause and say, do you believe this? Do you believe that if you believe in Jesus Christ for your salvation, even though you die, you will live? When you live in him, you will never die. Eternal life. It's what he promises us. Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is come into the world. And after he said this, she went and got Mary. And Mary left the house where all the mourners were. They were still hanging around. And Mary came to Jesus and fell at his feet. I love this about Mary. Mary, every time we see her in a scripture, she falls at Jesus' feet. She was sitting at his feet when he was teaching. And Martha was busy, you know, getting all the food preparations ready for all the many guests. And Martha said, make Mary help me. And Jesus said, no, she's chosen what's better. Sit at my feet and learn. Here she falls at his feet and worships. And in the next chapter, she goes to Jesus' feet, pours perfume on them, and wipes them with her hair, which was radical too, because women didn't let their hair down in that culture. It's like, oh, did she really let her hair down? That's worship. They knew who Jesus was and that he was worthy of worship, but they still didn't fully understand that he had power over death to raise Lazarus from the dead right there and then. And so when he calls out, Lazarus, come out, move the tomb, move the stone, getting Lazarus out, they go in the King James Version, oh, Lord, he stinketh by now. Let's keep that shut in. And Jesus calls him out. And Lazarus comes out and he says, unbind him, take off those grave clothes that he was wrapped up in, set him free, because he was dead, but now he's alive again. And he gets another chance. And I just want us to really reflect on that Jesus does have all the power over death and sin and everything else. Jesus himself would be raised to life after his passing. There's other examples of people coming back to life. Josiah's daughter. There's other examples in the scripture. And Jesus has that power over our lives too. We will be raised to life again. We will live again, which is pretty exciting, isn't it? It's like we can live like that now. We can be like Lazarus now, like stripping off those grave clothes, all that holds us back, all that is binding, all the sin that holds us back in our lives, anything that, you know, we're addicted to, anything that's keeping us a slave or in the darkness. We can shake it off. Can be unbound, we can be set free to live in the newness of life, that resurrected life power right here and now. Because if we are Christians and the Holy Spirit lives in us, the same power that raised Lazarus from the dead and raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. Resurrection power lives in us right now. And we get to live that resurrected life spiritually, even though our bodies will die. They're frail, they're not made to last forever. There's new bodies for us in our eternal home. It's good news, yeah? So I just want to encourage us. I'm going to put on a little song, and I just want to encourage you to think about what difference that ought to make in the way that you live your life now, today, this week. Is there anything you need to throw off? Do you need to move more into the newness of life? Do you need to live like you're free, like resurrection power is in you? We might do that now. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have won our freedom for everything that you've done for us on the cross and by rising to new life, conquering death, and sharing your victory with us, we thank you. And we want to worship you in response. We want to live our lives to your glory. So please have your way in us. Fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit today, your resurrection power, and help us to live in the newness of life. Fulfill all your promises to us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.